How's it going, everyone? You're listening to Free Kick, the official AFLW fantasy podcast, and today I'm here with Liam to chat all things Richmond Tigers. Liam, how's it going?
Oh, we're from Tiger, yellow and black. Oh, we're from Tiger Land. Yeah, I'm pumped. This is a fascinating team. They are the recipient of the most impactful free agent move of last offseason. Sadly, not in their favour, but it makes for a fascinating fantasy puzzle to solve.
There's no real reason why Richmond can't win a final this year, or win the final, rather. I mean, their team's looking pretty good, and everything should be falling in their favour. So this is a pretty exciting side from both like a general AFLW and fantasy perspective.
You're really sticking the knife in, though, for Richmond AFLW fans, because they have been notorious for not being able to win finals up until now, and sadly that didn't change last year, because they were bowled out by rank outsiders. Port Adelaide in their match in South Australia in the finals a completely surprising display. And I've already kind of hinted at it. The biggest thing about Richmond is Ayla Sheeran is gone. That is 80 fantasy points. That is two All Australians. That is the kind of outside of Mon Conti, I would say the second or third most important piece. As a footballer, as a fantasy player at Richmond, I think Katie Brennan is the next one on the list, but it's real tough to find someone as important as Ayla Sheeran. So how they go about replacing her will be fascinating to see. I will say as well, though, I think that there are definitely signs for hope for Richmond this season, particularly in how they play defensively. So they are mid-competition for a lot of statistics. Possessions, they're pretty equal with their opposition, pretty equal on meters gained. They've got a really solid ratio of disposals to tackles, all mid-competition. Where they really stand out is in how few marks they allow. So they allowed the third fewest marks last season, and then they also allowed the fourth fewest marks inside 50. The one thing that I think is going to be really difficult to maintain this year without Ayla Sheeran is they had the third highest percentage of contested possessions at 50%. Now, first is Port Adelaide at 60, which is ridiculous. That is the gap between second and 13th, which is outrageous. But it is also very much how Richmond look to go and play the game. Part of the reason why they allowed so few marks is they really try and push the contested ball and try and keep things in close quarters, if in part because they had Mon Conti, whose ability to manoeuvre at contest was elite and is elite, and then Ayla Sheeran's long-kicking and bullocking mentality running through stoppage was their way to make sure that the game was played in the state of play that they wanted at all times. Sheeran is now gone. It's going to be fascinating to see if they try and make some subtle shifts to that high contested possession, low mark gameplay.
Yeah, and I mean, like you mentioned, really big question in terms of what are Richmond going to be doing about this season. And to find out a little bit more, earlier in the preseason, Will had a chat with Richmond defender Maddie Shevlin. So let's listen to that one now.
Hey everyone, and today we are very lucky to be joined by Maddie Shevlin from the Richmond Tigers. Maddie, how are you going?
I'm good, thanks, Will. How are you?
I am really, really well, thank you. So preseason just started last year. The Tigers made the finals, unfortunately went down to a much improved Port Adelaide in the first week. So how's the feeling been this preseason so far, and what's the messaging been from Coach Ryan Ferguson about sort of improving on that result last year?
Yeah, I think obviously it was disappointing to lose to Port Adelaide on their own turf, especially having beaten them in round five. Mm. So we knew we could beat them, but it would take our best. And we rocked up to Adelaide and underperformed, to put it blankly. And, yeah, it is disappointing, but it has lit a bit of a fire in the belly. And we've been in final series for the last couple of years and we're yet to win a final. So that's probably been our driving force for this preseason, is how can we get better each day and make sure that we are a finals team and rock up to finals and actually compete.
Yeah. And one of your main strengths as a team has been a really strong defensive setup, something you'd be familiar with as a defender. And a good defense is usually the hallmark of a finals quality team. Can you give us a bit of insight into the strengths of that defensive group, as well as the transition of Gabby Seymour, who was actually the first Tiger to come on our show, her transition from being a ruck to a key defender?
Yeah, I think, like, obviously it's a great line to be a part of. I think every team says that your defence wins your premierships. So we probably pride ourselves a lot on our defensive principles across the whole ground. Mm. We know that it's defending's not just a defender's game. It's the pressure that the forwards put on in our forward line, and the likes of Mackenzie Ford and Millsy, you see, doing that really set the tone for us. And then hard transition running through our midfield helps that. But getting Poppy Kelly and her being in dominant ruck form has allowed Gabby to be freed up from the ruck and use her aerial strength in our back half. And I think she's really familiar with the position now and is coming into her own. And having a season down back from last season, I think that will catapult her going forward.
And she really adds to what is a land of giants down the back. You've got Rebecca Miller, who's really tall, her as well. You must feel quite dwarfed back there at times.
Yeah, it is funny. I think everyone says your tallest player should be your ruck, but we're pretty happy for Beck to be down back and being a general down there setting us up. And obviously Libby's come from the Giants and has been a consistent performer for us as well. So I think our back cohesion is definitely improving, which is exciting, but everyone probably says that in pre-season, and it's all about action when the season actually comes around.
Yeah, of course. And you mentioned Poppy Kelly had a real breakout season last year, which really allowed Gabby Seymour to make that transition back. You've also got impressive young ruck Montana McKinnon, who we haven't even seen yet. Firstly, how's Montana's recovery going, and how's that ruck setup going to look? Because you've now got two really solid ruck options, I guess.
Yeah, look, it's obviously disappointing for Monty last year to go down with a knee injury, but you wouldn't think that she's that young with the way she's attacked her rehab, and she's put herself in a really good position. She's in majority of our drills currently, and I think the club's being pretty mindful of how young she is and how important she will be for us going forward. So, yeah, we're looking after her a lot, but obviously she'll be a gun to have back in our side, and we can't wait to see why she came over from Adelaide and what she can produce for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And those ruck service are a pretty handy midfield. We know Monconti's a reasonable player, I would say, and Ellie McKenzie as well, being back last year. She's one of the most damaging kicks on the outside. Must be great to see both of them in full flight.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, yeah, you're probably in training in a little bit of awe looking at those two go about it especially. But it's also exciting. We've got Sierra Greaves, one of our new draftees, and she's slotted right into that midfield mix as well. Obviously, Grace Egan is there as well. And Charlie Wicksteed from WA, she's, yeah, having a phenomenal preseason, which is exciting. So I think the pressure is finally on in our midfield, and positions are up for grabs, which is a really exciting place to be as a football team in preseason.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've jumped straight ahead to where I was going to ask next, which is who's sort of pushing into that midfield group, especially given you've lost Eilee Sheeran, who was, of course, a really important player in that midfield and halfback role with her aggressive ball movement. Has replacing her been sort of a bit more of a team focus, or is there someone who's really stepped up and looks to be really pressing to take that midfield spot?
It's been interesting. Obviously, Eilee, she's a gun, and we were disappointed to lose her at the back end of last year. But we also pride ourselves on it's a 21-person job to win each week, and everyone brings different strengths, and we need to adjust our game plan to maximising the strengths of the talent on our list. And I think Ferg and the coaching staff have done a great job at that. And you look at Izzy Bacon coming into her second year now. She's a very similar player to Eilish in a lot of ways, with her speed and her aggressive hunt of the footy and her work rate. So having another preseason under her belt has really given her every opportunity to be that rebounding halfback or even float through the midfield like Eilish has done previously for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess I have to ask, are we going to see Matty Shevlin flying through that midfield at any stage?
I'm not quite a contested player. I probably wait out on the wing a little bit more and hope that our better ball winners can distribute it out laterally, and hopefully I get it on the end of it.
You've got some fantastic players to be kicking to up in the forward line. We know how great star skipper Katie Brennan is and Caitlin Greiser as well. But you mentioned before you've got some really good new additions to that forward line. Mackenzie Ford was a bit of a revelation last year. Sarah Hosking was recast in a new role. Are there any more surprises we're going to see in that forward line coming in the new season?
Yeah, well, I think obviously Montana Berylton from Sydney we acquired through the trade period. She's bringing a whole lot of speed to that forward line mix as well. And when you've got key forwards like Katie and G-Train bringing the ball to ground, that's when you just let those fast people get to work. And obviously Scotty came across from Essendon via the draft, but they're adding great presence in our forward line. I feel like we're really cohesive. Shelby Knowles on the back of an ACL injury. She's currently playing Sandful, fly in, fly out, sort of set up just to get her some game load in. And she looks like a prospect with a few more pre-seasons. And obviously learning from Katie and G is probably not a much better forward line to learn from. So, yeah, we've got higher expectations, but I think we've got the list to warrant it.
Yeah, for sure. And we're very excited for Shelby as well. We interviewed her in a draft year and then she unfortunately did the knee injury. So hopefully she can get a good run at it this year. But it's almost like you've got the questions I'm going to ask in front of you, because my next question was about Montana Berylson and Paige Scott. Great additions in the front half, of course. The one I'm particularly interested in asking about is Paige Scott, because we know she can also move up the ground and around the midfield. Has she been predominantly in that forward line so far, or is she taking part in the midfield drills?
Yeah, I think they're based through our forward line at the moment. And gee, they're a presence up forward. They're competitive. They run really hard. They're an aerial threat, but then can damage you at ground level as well. So yeah, we're excited for what they can bring. They're tough. Yeah. So if you float through the midfield, I'd hate to be opposing them, but yeah, I think they're bringing something different that we probably haven't had in our forward half for a while. So yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, and speaking of new faces, you've also had a couple of former Blues in Lauren Brazzali and Lulu Beattie offer a fair bit in the back half. Have you worked with them much so far, and what sort of roles are they likely to play?
Yeah, it's amazing when injuries happen how you do get quality people and to replace players that unfortunately do miss the season through injury. But I think people forget that Brazzy's played a lot of footy and she comes into our program. She's fitted in seamlessly. She's running really well. She's distributing the ball really well. She's got a really high footy IQ. And we hope to see her in our back half. And Lulu as well, obviously, brings completely different strengths as well. Still a very young player. You probably forget that once you've been spat out of the system, you can still be really young.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. She's floating through the wing at the moment, so doing a fair bit of work with her, which has been great. And she's also fitted in really well with our group and is embracing the challenge of being an AFLW footballer.
Yeah, sounds like super exciting. Lots of change, but not necessarily in a bad way, which will hopefully set you up for a really good season. Probably leave it there, but the question we always do love to ask at the end of these interviews, who so far has impressed you the most in the preseason and looks really set for a big year in 2025?
Oh, I'm probably going to have to say Caitlin Cox. After missing last season with an ACL injury, she's been really diligent in her rehab. She's come back fit and firing. I feel like she's in a really good spot, trusting the knee, trusting the work she's done previously. And she's dominating training. She's in everything now, so she's cleared to do whatever, which is a really exciting place for her to be after what I would imagine to be a really lonely 12 months on the sideline, not being amongst the group. So yeah, I think I'm probably expecting a lot from her, but I think she is as well. She's a quality player. She's a quality connector of people off the field. And yeah, we're thrilled for her to be back in the mix.
Yeah, that's super exciting to hear. And we always love, as you say, the returns from the injuries. It's fantastic to hear. So lots of great stories for the Tigers. We'll leave it there, but thank you so much for your time, Maddie. It's been a pleasure, and good luck for the season ahead.
Too easy. Thanks, Will.
No worries. Thank you.
Quick chat, but a good chat there between Will and Maddie. What were your key takeaways from listening back to that one?
I think it's fascinating to hear that they themselves place a lot of pride on their defence. And also, I probably heard more Mackenzie Ford and Montana Berrelson references in there than I was anticipating. But it does probably speak to the fact that they need those small forwards to be able to continue that game plan. Like, you need those players who are weapons at stoppage. So that was fascinating to listen to. I've definitely taken some good things from it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one thing that I was a bit disappointed to hear was that our friend of the pod, Shelby Knoll, sounds like she's, you know, playing a bit of, I mean, great to hear that she's playing a bit of FIFO to the Sandful, but not too sure how she'll be coming in this season. So hopefully she's coming in fit and ready to make an impact. But it sounds like there's lots of positions up for grabs all around. There's, you know, backfilling Eilish's talents, but there's some, yeah, a few new faces might be running through the midfield. So great chat, Will. Thank you very much. And Maddie, of course. Let's get on to the fantasy side of it, though.
Yeah, look, I would love to be able to say, oh, I've changed up what we're talking about, but the first three players are probably going to all discuss together because it's who takes up the bulk of the points that Ailee Sheeran has left. Before, she was a mid-70 scorer across halfback. Last year, almost all of her scoring was done in the midfield as a centre bounce attendee. So the three highest CBA getters in the midfield outside of her were Mon Conti, Ellie McKenzie, and Grace Egan, and all have fascinating different cases to be the most fantasy relevant. I've got Mon Conti at one because we know that without Ailee Sheeran in the midfield, it's 106.5 average that she had in 2023, which would put her within spitting distance of the top five midfielders and also presents 10 points nearly of basically, well, actually slightly over 10 points of value on what she's priced at this year. And given, you know, we are trying to find ways to pick cheaper players who can score as premium so that we can afford Emily Marinoff, I think that Mon Conti is getting slept on as an option, whereas everyone's kind of locking in Kiara Bowers and then maybe having a look at Georgie Prasparkas. I think that there's a case to be made for running with Mon Conti instead, possibly at an M2 or an M3.
That's very bullish over someone that is severely underpriced like a Bowers. But we are here to talk about Conti. And I love saying those two names in the same sentence because they are two of my favorite players. Yeah, I mean, Conti, it's interesting you say if she went back to her last season's average, she could be pushing top five. She's currently the ninth most expensive mid. So even though there is a couple of big steps down at the top of the midline, she's still up there as a expensive option. But totally right. Like, we really saw that impact between her season 8 and 9. Her average tells one story, which is that it dropped, yeah, from like the 106 back down to 90 something, 96. But also in season 8, she had 7 scores over 100 and 3 over 120. Season 9, only 3 over 100 and 1 over 120. So, like, she wasn't hitting the same ceilings. She wasn't hitting them as often. So there's definitely headroom for her. But I don't know if Richmond might prefer it this way. I mean, there's a bit less reliance on Mon Conti. That's probably something that they want to be continuing because if they can be keeping Mon at, say, a similar level to last season and amping up some younger or different faces in the midfield, Mon Conti's the tag target, as we saw. And that took, I think it was the Sydney game last season, it took a big dive on her scoring. If she continues to be the tag target and we get some other kind of mids stepping up as well, I feel like that might be better for both fantasy scoring and for Richmond.
Yeah, I agree with you in principle. That's probably what Richmond want. But the reason why Mon Conti was less the only source of ball movement or the key source of ball movement is because Ailee Sheeran possesses elite talent. I'm not entirely certain that you can recreate Ayla Sheeran in the aggregate, like Moneyball style, because you only have so many spots inside the CBA group to be able to do it. So as much as they probably do not want, they don't want to be relying on just one person because they become more of a problem if they get tagged, I think that Mon Conti is a name that I will be watching extremely intently and considering. I don't know if I'm going to see anything from her in the preseason that will necessarily change my mind, but I am leaning towards, you know, it being a very viable option to pick it.
Good point about what you're looking for in the preseason, because you might not see anything different from Mon Conti. We know what she does. She's a classy player. We know what we expect to see from her. But some of your other kind of midfield options in picks 2 and 3, for example, we might really see them stepping up in some of these preseason games.
It's exactly right, because I think that if I'm literally just said you can't recreate Ayla Sheeran in the aggregate, I think there's a very much a case to be made that Ellie McKenzie has that elite level talent. She came in last year having had a preseason to get healthy again. She'd only played one game in the season prior. Now, the averages you're going to look at aren't necessarily going to set the world on fire. She only averaged 64.8. Her highest score ever is only 98. And yet last year was still her highest averaging season. We also just know that what she possesses by foot at contest, reading the ball in the air, are truly elite potential. We've just not seen her put it together. If you're going to look for someone that might show something new in the preseason at the midfield at Richmond and therefore present, let's say, 20 points of value, putting her up at that 84, 85 mark, which could nearly be enough for your M4, I think that there's absolutely a case to be made that Ellie McKenzie is the one who could show that in the preseason. Like, she could show that burst of speed. She could show that she's looking more comfortable or healthier, or like she's stepping up to be the absolute 2IC to Mon Conti. And so it's going to be fascinating to see. And there's absolutely a case to be made that she's fantasy viable.
Yes, I fully agree with Mon Conti and with Ellie McKenzie. with Ellie McKenzie, particularly, I mean, to add on to everything you just said, what I really like is when you look at her scoring in terms of like breaking up the season, you know, pre-double weeks, end of double weeks, big decline. Like, starts off with low 70s, then drops down to 60s, then drops down to mid-50s. And we do know that she was carrying a bit of an injury, but what that says to me is that's just headroom to get back up to the bang that she started off the season with last season. So if she can, you know, she's priced at 65, brought down by her end of season averages, if she can get back up to that early season, there's already 7 points before we start divvying out Ayla Sheeran and Eilish Sheeran Irish potential Sheeran fantasy share. The Irish are Sheeran. No, we're not going to do that again. So I think she's definitely got some headroom.
And fascinatingly, though, you say, let's add on the Eilish Sheeran headroom. Ellie McKenzie's best scores were without Eilish Sheeran in the midfield, pretty much. The Collingwood game, she had 98. Eilish was playing at that point. But then the 81 and the 84 earlier in the season, that's without a healthy Eilish playing. And so I think there's absolutely a case to be made that Ellie McKenzie and Eilish were playing a similar role at stoppage. Or if Ellie was in there, she was playing one role. But if they were both in there, that role was going to Sheeran. So I'm absolutely fascinated by this. The final one is Grace Egan. Now, it's a tougher case to make because I don't know if Greg, which is just a beautiful, excellent nickname, has that same, like, game-breaking talent and scoring that Mon Conti has, you know, number one draft pick and superstar potential that Ellie McKenzie has. And so it's hard to make a case that I'm really set on her going big this year. But she's another one who took a massive dip last season, both in her CBAs, but more importantly in her scoring. She went down from 81.2 to 63.1, which if you include the final, which is not exactly what you would have wanted if you're a Richmond fan. I think the biggest thing that she missed out on was those tackles, right? Like, I think that Ayla Sheeran showed she loves a really hard tackle. And she's gone down from 6 tackles a game to 3.6. And she's having far fewer kicks. She was really be in there, if she was in there, to farm the ball out. And it just wasn't the same scoring for her. Whereas in season eight, she'd actually been an underpriced premium that people got on board towards the end of the season when she had a really hot run of form. She had a high of 112, but then sadly, last year high of only 75, which is wild if you think that like she averaged more than that the year prior. She's another player that I could see going back up again, because I don't think that there is a player at Richmond where I go, yep, that's the next person that's a, like a highly touted midfielder in their fourth, fifth season who could come in immediately and take the role. So I think that Grace Egan is another one that gets a role boost, a time in CBA boost, and probably a tackle boost now that Sheeran has left. Do I think that I would pick her in my team? It's a little too risky for me. I just worry that she could be left out of a game plan for lots of disposals in any given week if for whatever reason it's not a high tackle game. And that doesn't exactly fill me with confidence. I want the players I pick to be players that the team want to have the ball in their hand.
That's a really good criteria for your number three top fantasy relevant pick, is not being filled with confidence. But I kind of see what you mean by Grace Egan.
Amongst the three of them,
she's,
right.
She's a mid. She's also a mid. She's also pretty much priced, you know, what, 27 grand less than LA McKenzie. If I was looking for a cheaper mid option from Richmond that I think would have that room to grow in the Sheeran absence, I'd probably go Ellen McKenzie because I see a few more kind of points moving in her favour there. But Grace Egan's possibly got that headroom too.
And look, you could say that I maybe rejig the order so that I could just discuss all three of these players in a row, and that maybe Grace Egan isn't per se the third best option at Richmond this year and it just helps narrative. By the by, but I do think that there's a case for Grace Egan, and I won't be truly gobsmacked if she has 20 points of value by the end of the season.
Moving out of the midfield then, let's pick somewhere else to go.
Well, let's pick a defender who's going to hopefully play in the midfield, and that's the player that we heard about from Maddie Shevlin in Isabel Bacon. Don't bother looking at her scoring from last year. It is nary worth talking about. She's basement price this year, and she's a basement price defender. We are always struggling to find the 300k defenders who can score and get good roles. Sounds as though, listening to Maddie, that Izzy will be given a chance to spend some time in the midfield. There's also been some reports from an internal match sim that it appears that Bacon is playing as a tagger, which absolutely fits with what you read about her draft profile. She's a very hard runner, a very determined player who played both at halfback and in the midfield. And I do want to mention her underage like talents, because in her final season at Coates League level, she only averaged a 70. But doing a little bit of deeper digging, it sounds like she got given much more of a prominent midfield role in the final five games of her last Coates League season. And in that time, she averaged 18 disposals, nearly 11 and a half tackles, and 98.8 fantasy points per game. That says to me that 98. If I am looking if I'm looking for someone who could just have a couple of games in the first month where they spend some 50% of their game time playing around the midfield, playing around the stoppages, maybe they're rolling in, crashing in off a wing just to lay a tag and make that work, this is where I would be looking, because I think that those plus fours, rolling stoppages, and particularly at the time of the year where quite often the conditions are more conducive to high tackle, high stoppage games, I think that Izzy Bacon stands out pretty strongly as a rookie to pick.
Yes, I know you started that off saying don't look at her score. I just realised I didn't actually have her average in front of me. But defender priced at 321k, I was like, that's going to be low. It is 24.8, so that's nice. That's a good range to be picking for a rookie priced defender.
And that's from 11 games or the 10 games. Like it's not injury affected either.
Yep. Also, I think it was maybe in that intra-club that I was reading. Was going pretty confident on her move to the midfield, but also she was kicking goals. So we love a defender who's playing in the midfield and can run forward. Delightful. Love to see all of that. I want all of those stats on my side. And then also, I mean, you did just spend the first little while talking about a Isla Sheeran replacement. Not going to read too much into it because, you know, Izzy Bacon's coming in quite young. But hearing from Maddie in that interview saying that she's looking quite similar to Eilish as a rebounding halfback floating forward to the midfield, potential for scoring, I'm like, yep, yeah, that sounds good. That's everything that I want to hear. So, yeah, pretty bullish on Izzy Bacon.
I just don't know about her scoring off halfback. I don't know, like, and I think there's something to be said for the only good scorer we've ever seen at halfback for Richmond was Ailey Sheeran, and that's because she didn't spend a whole lot of time getting marks and kicks behind the ball. She was looking to go forward. She was cracking in for tackles, trying to take intercepts forward of centre, kick the ball inside 50. That's how this game plan at Richmond is set up. You have a very resolute set of defenders. You've got a couple of runners pushing through. You rely on your wings, and Shevlin and Kate Dempsey are almost as experienced a wing duo as you can get. I think that is why I'm a little worried. Like, I'm not like 100% Izzy Bacon. She's an absolute weapon already. I think she'll probably, I don't know how well she's going to score at halfback. I'm wary of that, but I think that the pedigree for midfield, particularly the tackling, like 11 and a half tackles a game, is elite numbers to see. I am absolutely like laser focused on how she looks in both the match sim and practice match this season.
Sounds good. And someone else that I'm also quite keen on. I love that we're once again talking about Paige Scott. Looking at her stats, I was just having a giggle, being like, how does she average 2.4 frees against last season? Like, that is just, what you doing? But I can't wait. I can't wait for Paige Scott to be a great fantasy pick in our sides, and then we just get frustrated at the frees once more.
Yes, and I think the reason I've gone with Paige Scott is that we are, again, as always, struggling for defender and then forward rookies. And now that we're recording this after the announcement that Lauren Young is going to miss the first or the next 8 to 10 weeks, so don't expect her before mid-season, essentially, I've had to go digging for some potential value at my F5, possibly even F6. And at the moment, I'm looking at Paige Scott because I think we all know that they are extremely capable tackler. They are extremely comfortable above their head, love contested situations, maybe a little bit too much and get frustrated, hence the extremely high freeze against number. But with the discount, well, effectively a discount from what their previous highest average was, which was 49.7 in 2023, coming in this season priced at 36. I would not be shocked if there's a world where Paige Scott averages in the low to mid 50s and is able to benefit playing from a very well-drilled and structured forward line behind KB. And I think that's another thing. Like, in terms of leaders, KB has been a captain every single year she's played in the AFLW, and it speaks to how, like, Richmond going through, you know, trying conditions at any point, I'll probably back them to keep a game close. So Paige Scott, a dart throw, they'll probably end up in my team in a few drafts until we get a better sense of who the best forward rookies are. But it's a name we all know. It's a name we love to watch because the tackling and the high-flying nature are electrifying. So put Paige Scott in your little back preseason book ready to watch for both the pracky matches.
Yeah, absolutely. Such an entertaining play to watch. And the one thing I did quite like thinking more about Paige Scott was that they were really on a roll for the first half of last season. The fantasy scores going up every week, bang, improve, up to a max of 65, which is pretty solid. Kind of all fell apart a bit during the double weeks, and then we didn't see from them again for the back end of the season. So that to me is a story of someone who was getting comfortable, improving, getting there, and then kind of like got cut a bit short. And if we know anything about Paige Scott, they got a bit of a temper, got a bit of a point to prove. So I can imagine we see them coming in fit, ready to go, ramping back up towards that 65 potential max even further. So I'm not sure if Paige Scott's going in my team right now because I've been hurt potentially a little bit too much before, but great fantasy pick, I got to say. I think I'm stronger on it than you are.
Fascinating. Well, who is your Mel special then?
Yeah, so I've gone with Sierra Greaves, which, not going to lie, not a name that I'd really heard much about before. This was Richmond's first pick up in the draft this 2024. And Sierra is a mid, priced at 380 or averaging at 29.3. We heard from the interview with Maddie straight up that Sierra's fitting in well to that midfield. So like unprompted, kind of slotting in there. And as we would expect, because she looked like an absolute, well, a jet at the Western Jets. And in terms of reasons why you might want to pick her, in 2024 under-18s, she was best and fairest and made it into their All-Australian. So she's really coming in with accolades and pretty excited for her like inside mid game. I think there's potential for her to kind of learn from some of these great other midfielders we have, but sounds like she's also got the potential to make impact early. So I think she could be someone that slots straight in.
Yeah, and has a natural accumulator profile. Western Jets averaged 30 touches in her final year there, nearly 100-ish, I think, on my rough maths fantasy points. And some good tackle numbers too at the Western Jets, 7.5 a game. And then in three games, averaged over 110 at the under-18s in 2024. So absolutely a good scorer.
They've shown, like, from their themselves, strengths from a football perspective and a fantasy points perspective. But then also I think, like, the timing in the club has to be right for a rookie to make an impact. And I just feel like Richmond is in the right spot right now where, like, everything we've just been talking about, they've got one lock on their mid on Monconti. They've got a couple of others. There's points to go around. There's kind of reshuffles going through there. I think that could be right place, right time for a good fantasy breakout here. So Sierra Greaves is someone I'm pretty keen on for my mid bench.
Yeah, rate it.
Well, that was Richmond. Let us know what you think. You can find us at Free Kick W Pod everywhere. And stay tuned for our next club preview series. What's up next? Port Adelaide?
Port Adelaide, the pair.
Lock it in. Okay, chat to you all later. Bye.
See ya.